Let us commence our evening service by singing together hymn 133, hymn 133, to the tune of Gounod 699. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Hymn 133, tune of Gounod 699.
Turn this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. The Gospel recorded by Luke, the 8th chapter. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Shuas, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Very much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground and sprung up and bare fruit and 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" He said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries, the kingdom of God, but to others in parables. Seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they've heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, and they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Then cometh he to his mother and his brethren, and could not come, and then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and brethren stand without desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side, the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, they met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. He brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And when the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to the pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And the parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. We bow, most gracious God, once more in thy presence, around thy word. Bless unto us the reading of thy word. Make us that good ground which we have read of. May we hear thy word and do it. Draw near this evening and go with us. May we be found like that man we read, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed with the robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation, and in our right minds. Speak unto us the message of life, unto our souls. And abundantly bless us as we come to worship thee. Thank thee for thy mercies, thy kind provision for another day, bringing us again into thy house in safety. And we ask thy watchful care over us during the week to come. May we know thy presence, thine aid, thy blessing, thy guidance, thy help, thy protection. Pardon and forgive every sin. The sins of a lifetime, past, present, and future yet to come. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith at its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. May we know what it is to have conquering grace, which conquers those sins which so often conquer us. And to follow thee, rather than follow Satan. Give us, Lord, that living faith in a living Jesus. Give us, Lord, of thy Holy Spirit as a guide, a comforter, a defender, a teacher. Be unto us that friend we've sung of in our opening hymn. May we know that love beyond a brother's. Costly, free, and knows no end. For that alone will save us from ourselves, from Satan, and from hell. Bless, Lord, this house of prayer, the ministry of thy word here. Bless each one found this evening in thy house. Bless any who are unable to be here. Those in their own homes, one in hospital, remember her. And grant unto her healing mercies. And draw near to her and bless her today. Remember any, Lord, who are listening online. Bless them in their own homes. Remember the one who ventured this morning. We thank thee for it. Bring her back again, we pray. Bless the children and guide them in life's journey and supply all their needs. Guard, protect them round about. Visit them with thy salvation. Teach them to pray for themselves even in their young days. And may they know answers to prayer. And may they all their lifetime through live that life of faith and prayer. Teach them to trust in thy merits. Teach them to seek for pardon to sin. Teach them to love thee and to follow thee, to trust thee and to serve thee. Grant, Lord, that same blessing to those of us who are older. We need the same teaching, the same grace, the same provision, the same help. Whatever our age, we never, Lord, outgrow that need. Do then supply those needs. Do supply any providential needs which we have in the journey of life here below. And do encourage this people. And grant them to know that thou art still with them. Add unto their number those whom thou hast and wilt save. And gather into this church thine elect, we pray. And do be with this church, bless, watch over, guide and keep it, and supply its needs. Bless thy servants who preach here. Bless thy servant where he labours this day. Help him. Remember again our friend in the desk and be with him in his pathway. And bless all thy servants as they preach Jesus this day. Help them so to do. And help, Lord, the many more who hear of Jesus. May, Lord, that joyful sound of salvation be heard in many hearts this day. Draw near to us, then we ask. And bless us together. Crown thine own word and gospel with success in our hearts. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the open week are, God willing, Mr. G. Cottenham, Graham Cottenham, will preach here on Tuesday evening. and Mr. Edmund Buss next Lord's Day, which is also the day appointed for the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, to be observed during the evening service. Our monthly prayer meeting would also be held, God willing, on Friday evening, and a church meeting on Wednesday evening, the 6th of October, at 6 p.m. The collection for the month was £1,017, and the collection for the Bethesda home is taking the tower. Thanksgiving service, £140, and we also received a quarterly donation from the Gospel Standard Aid Society to help this church in the sum of £600. We do acknowledge the Lord's mercies, thank the friends for their willing giving. The quarterly monies received for those in need amounts to £166.01, and God willing, next week we hold a collection for those in need on the first Sunday of the month. May we now be helped to continue by singing together hymn 574, hymn 574, tune Credence 586. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. Mercy from his bosom flows, free as any river. He redresses all their woes, all the woes of a weak believer. Sinners in corruption's pit know they greatly need him. He and he alone is fit from it to relieve them. Hymn 574, tune Credence 586.
seeking the Lord's help, we turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 48. The Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 48. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. What precious words we have here from the Saviour to a poor, trembling woman in need. A word in season. To put all our fears at rest. What a busy day it had been. Verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day. And how much did come to pass on this day? There is, first of all, the stilling of that storm of wind. As they pass over from one side of the lake to the other, for the Lord to attend to the needs of a poor man who couldn't come to him, so he came where he was. And the devil didn't want him to meet the Saviour. And so he sends a storm of wind. The boat is filled. They're in jeopardy of their lives, it seems. But Jesus is asleep. Now you see his manhood. He knew what it was to feel tired and weary, just like we do. And his disciples come to him and awake him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. I suppose they expected him to start bailing water out of the boat with a bucket, like they were doing. But instead, he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased and there was a calm. They are filled with amazement and astonishment as they come face to face again with the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to go through this storm to strengthen their faith, to have a more clear view of who Jesus was. Maybe that's why you're going through your storm this evening. But not only does he rebuke the wind, he rebukes them. If in our text he commends this woman's faith, in this boat, he says, "Where is your faith?" Where is your faith? Has it gone? Does it exist? We are dependent upon God to both give and maintain faith in Him, or else we will continue to live in our natural state of unbelief. Where is your faith? But then they come into the country of the Gadarenes. And the Saviour heals this man of his devils. And how sad it is that the people of the Gadarenes expel him out of their coast, rather than receiving him. How sad it is that they want to get rid of him, rather than asking him to heal others of their diseases. He wasn't the only one, I would have thought, in that country who had a need. It seemed they valued their swine more than the presence of the Saviour. And so he returns to the other side, where the people are gladly receiving him, for they are all waiting for him. How different. But we have here at least two in that crowd who received him more gladly than others and were waiting for him more earnestly than the others, because they had a need which must be met. First of all, Jairus' daughter is ill at the point of death. And Jairus comes in his sorrow and perplexity to ask Jesus to heal her. About the time that she was born, this woman in our text began to have her own need. For as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive, she had lived with this need. 12 years is a long time, is it not, to be ill with this issue of blood, which made her weak, which made life a struggle, which was so debilitating, so distressing, so discouraging. Wherever she went, she took it with her. She couldn't forget about it. She's spent all she has on physicians. She's destitute. Now she has just one avenue open to her: to come to Jesus, the great physician. She came behind him. She ventured. It was not an easy venture in her condition, with her need. And perhaps unbelief would have said, "There's no point you even coming. There's going to be a large crowd about him, as always was in those days. He is still in the early days of his ministry, at the height of his popularity. Unbelief would say, how can you get through the crowd in your condition? But she ventured. Unbelief may have said, well, he won't heal you anyway. You haven't got any money. But she ventured. Satan would have said, a woman like you can't touch the Saviour. The very thought of it, you'll offend him. You can't come like that. But she ventured. She couldn't come any other way. Neither can you, coming sinner. You've got to come as you are, or you won't come at all. She ventured because she knew she would not get any better by staying away. Neither will you, with your burden of sin, with you feeling to lack grace and faith. Come to the one who gives faith and grace. Come to the one who gives repentance. Come to the one who gives forgiveness. That is the secret. You never get it on your own. And you have to come every time as you are. Like this woman with nothing but your need. And she did not come in vain. Neither will you come in vain. Come just as thou art with thy guilt. Fall down at the feet of the Lamb. He will not and cannot say go, but surely will take out thy stain. The fountain is opened for sin. And thousands its virtues have proved. He'll take thee and plunge thee therein and wash thee from guilt in his blood. She came behind him. And as she ventured, God gave her the strength to come. He made a way for her. How, we are not told. Whether he gave a supernatural strength to push her way through the crowd, or whether he constrained the crowd to let her through, we are not told. But she came to the feet of Jesus with her need. She couldn't keep away. And no other hindrance could keep her away either. And neither will you, coming sinner, when the Lord's time comes, when the appointed time comes. There is no power that exists which will keep you away from the Saviour. She touched the border of his garment. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be noticed. Probably because she didn't have any money. But as we see in our text, the Saviour far exceeded her thoughts and was better to her than all her fears. So he will be with you, child of God. So will he be to you, coming sinner, who does not yet feel to be a child of God. Bring no money, price, nor aught. No good deeds nor pleasing frames. Mercy never can be brought. Grace is free in all the lands. And it's still free this evening. And Christ still receives and heals sinners this evening, just as he did in this woman's day. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Now, in a spiritual sense, this speaks to us, first of all, of humility. She got as low as she could. That's where grace will bring you. You won't come demanding forgiveness. You'll come begging for it. You won't come bringing your self-righteousness with you, admiring it, thinking, well, he must receive me. You'll come as a guilty, weak and helpless worm. She touched the border of his garment. Now the border, what does that signify? Well, it's the end of the garment, isn't it? When that garment was made, the work was completed when the border was finished and done. So spiritually, a coming sinner comes and touches the finished work of Christ. Which has been done. And which does not need any amendment to it of our own. She touched that alone. That is where the coming sinner comes. When they come by faith to the Saviour to be healed of the greater issue of sin, you have to come alone to this touch, the touch of faith, the work of Christ in the life which he has lived for your salvation, in the death which he has died for the pardon of sin. Faith looks here and here alone. Faith touches here and here alone. Faith rests here and here alone. And immediately her issue of blood staunched. In other words, it stopped. It was healed. She didn't need a second touch. One touch was enough, wasn't it? And you know, friends, if you've ever been to Christ by faith once, that is enough. Yes, we do want fresh touches and glimpses. But you know, if you're saved, you're saved forever. We cannot be saved one day and unsaved the next. Immediately, she is healed. Immediately, she feels her life and strength return. Immediately, she knows she's no longer ceremonially unclean. While she was in this condition, she was not allowed to enter the temple for worship. Now she can. And that may have been one of her greatest parts of that cross to bear. And she turns to go away. Home again. But Jesus didn't intend her to go away without speaking. Is there one of you who this week has touched by faith the hem of his garment? And this evening you are indeed secretly rejoicing. But you have no intention of telling anyone about it. Is that to the honour and glory of God? Is it to the honour and glory of God you stay silent? It wasn't for this woman, it isn't with you. Somebody hath touched me. Are you that somebody? He knew, of course. He wasn't asking this question because he wanted to know the answer. He knew already. But he intended for the glory of God and for the strengthening of the faith of others and the encouragement of others, for others who didn't know to know it. And although it may wonder and amaze you this evening, child of God, that is one of the reasons he intends you to speak too. For the glory of his name, but also for the encouragement of others. Somebody have touched me. A touch of faith. And while this woman had the way clear to come to Jesus, she's now hemmed in. She can't get away. Although she's now received her strength back, there's no way for her to escape. She had to stay there until she had told what had been done. And believer, one day you'll have to speak. Cannot be hid. And like this woman, you may have fears. But were any of her fears justified? No. And with the Saviour with you. And if you are following him, he must be with you. Because he's in front of you. So with his presence, you've got all you need. And seek by faith ever to keep him in view. It's the safest place to be. Our problems come when we lose sight of him. Because that's when we stop following. And so she has to come trembling and falling down before him. Again, in the spirit of humility, she tells him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, now she receives a double blessing. She's been healed in her body. Now she's going to be healed in her soul. Because he wouldn't have called her daughter if he did not love her. He wouldn't have called her daughter if she wasn't among the family of God. He wouldn't have called her daughter if the Father hadn't given her into his care when he sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Daughter, if the Lord God Almighty has called you son or daughter, you'll get to heaven. You have a Father in heaven who fills the throne, so you've no need to fear. You have every reason to be of good comfort. Because he is an almighty Father who is well able to supply all your need. Whatever that need may be, daughter. It is a high privilege to be in the family of God. And let us seek that we may be sons and daughters of the Almighty. And although the Lord may not have said the word to you, has he fulfilled it for you in action? Because he speaks by his actions as well as by his words. If he has dealt with you as he does with a son or a daughter, that is the same as him saying it to you. So has he shown you his love, his compassion, his care? Has he provided for you in your soul? Has he guided you? Has he encouraged you? Has he rebuked you? Yes, even a rebuke is a sign of being a son or a daughter. The world aren't rebuked. They're left to go on and to seal their own destruction, but not his sons and daughters. If he's given you a rebuke, prize it. It's just as much done in love as with a word like this, be of good comfort. Daughter, be of good comfort. What a blessing if the Lord was to say this to you and to me this evening. Particularly, it was said specially, specifically to her. There's a great crowd around, but he's speaking only to her now, at this moment in time. And some of you have known, have you not, for when the Lord has spoken to you, it's as if you were the only one who he was speaking to. Of course, he has the power to speak to many simultaneously. But when he does speak to you, it's as if you're the only one who he cares about in the world at that moment. Daughter, be of good comfort. It silenced her fears and tremblings. It will silence yours too. Because you know, when the Lord says something like this to you, Satan will have to be quiet. In effect, the Lord is saying to Satan, peace, be still. Be quiet, Satan, leave them alone. Let them be at peace for the time being. Let them rest. Satan has to comply, even though it is done unwillingly. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thy faith. So although the God gives us faith, we can't give it ourselves. Yet it becomes ours when he gives it us. Thy faith. Have you got a faith of your own, which has been given you by God? That is the only faith worth having. And yes, it will be tried. It will be tested. This woman's was. But as I heard someone say recently, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. But you can trust the faith which God gives you. That faith in the Saviour. That faith in this precious friend who you've been singing of this evening, who sticketh closer than a brother. That faith whose love and kindness is everlasting. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And proof that she had faith was that she came to Jesus. Perhaps you're asking, have I got faith? Or have you come to Jesus in prayer? Are you asking for forgiveness? Are you asking to be healed of the malady of sin? Are you asking to be given this gift of faith which triumphs over unbelief? Are you asking for a share in his love? Then you have faith. The proof of it is in your prayer. Why are you praying to someone who you do not have faith in? And equally, if you are confident you have faith but you never pray to God, where is your faith? Where's the evidence of it? Where's the proof of it? Saving faith will always have evidences with it, fruits with it. Had this woman sat in unbelief, she'd have stayed behind in her home and would not have been healed. The unbeliever is never healed of the sickness of sin. And you who struggle with unbelief, ask God to give you the faith not to believe the devil's lies which he tells you about the Saviour. Ask him to give you that faith which can move mountains. You know, earlier this year, here's an illustration which may encourage you. Earlier this year, we attended the funeral of someone who we didn't know. They were the father of a friend at school, and we went to encourage and to support them. I'd never met him, didn't know anything much about him. He was a minister in the United Reformed Church when it was in a better state than what it is in now. And at that funeral, as often happens, a time was given for people to share their memories of him. Most of it would have been better not said. But at last, this woman got up and said, "Can I say something?" She said, when he came to his first church in 1973, he said, "I had lost my faith. I had been brought up in faith. I had believed on Christ, but through various reasons," she said, "I'd lost it. I'd given up. I'd turned my back on religion, and for some years I had had nothing to do with it. And I was quite happy in that state. And my neighbour who attended his church kept pestering me to ask him round to come and to see me. And I always refused because I said there's no point." Well, she said, at last, because I was fed up, I said, "All right, tell him to come this evening. And then never ask me again to see him." Well, she said, he came round. And he had the wisdom just to listen to what I had to say. I told him the story of my life and the chaos and the trouble of my life. And when I had finished, he said to me, "Well, why don't you pray to God for help?" And rather abruptly, she said, I said to him, "What's the point of me praying to a God who I don't believe exists?" And he won't help me anyway. She said he was silent for about 5 minutes. And she said, and he said, "If that is really your condition, then pray to God, first of all, to give you the faith that he does exist. And then secondly, to give you the faith to believe that he cares. And you see what he does." And she said, then he went away. Well, she said, I took him at his word and I did pray that. And she said, slowly but surely I was brought back to faith and back to the way and back to chapel, back to the word of God, and I've never departed from it since. Maybe one of you here this evening or listening online is in the same condition. Pray the same prayer. And if you say to me, "But it's so basic, it's so simple," friend, it's better to start basic and simple than not to come at all. And the wonder of it is that God is not offended when we are simple. He has compassion and he tends to our needs. Moved with tenderest compassion, he relieves the wounded heart. And the richest consolation his blessed spirit does impart. What, though bad, is your condition? And your wounds you can't endure. He, the sinner's wise physician, will effect a perfect cure. unbelief will never receive anything. But even a little faith receives something from God. So ask God to give you that faith, even if it is just a little, and then ask Him to strengthen it. We should not be satisfied with little faith. But little faith is better than no faith at all. But the greater your faith, the greater you will honour God, and the greater will be, you will be enjoy the good comfort of our text, as you trust in a God. You see, we don't understand sometimes, but He does. And that's what faith rests in. All the while you try and rest in what you can understand, is it any wonder you're tossed and troubled and in jeopardy? You don't understand, but He does. He knows what He's doing. And what He is doing, believer, He's doing for love to you. Even though you can't see it this evening and perhaps even won't believe it. But it is done in love. Then trust Him. As faith is given, rest in Him. And go forward leaning upon Him. And you'll prove He won't let you down. He won't desert you. He won't leave you alone. He will be your refuge and your strength and a very present help in trouble. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. My faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." May you be able to go in this peace this evening, at rest, looking unto Him. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 996 to the tune Silver Hill 411. Hymn 996. While the dear saints of God below travel this vale of sin and woe, there is a river through the road, makes glad the city of our God. Ye thirsty, poor, and needy souls, for you this wondrous river rolls. Though sin and sorrow make you sad, yet drink and let your heart be glad. Drink and forever bless His name, from whom these streams of mercy came. Drink, for the fountains open still. Drink, for He says, whoever will. Hymn 996, tune Silver Hill 411.
Lord, give us faith that can move mountains. Give us that faith to trust in an almighty Saviour and friend. And then at last, may that day come when our faith shall be sight. Do forgive and pardon all that has been wrong in our worship this day. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and forever. Amen.